From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the New York University's Skirball Center for the Performing Arts in New York City, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, guys. It's great to be back in New York City. It's great to be back in New York City. People call New York City the city that never sleeps. Well, we take that as a challenge. We got a very interesting guest for you today. He's a master of the clawhammer style of banjo playing, which I'm told is a very interesting fact. He's got a new album with the singer Edie Brickell. Carl, what is this guy's name again?
Steve Martin.
Okay. Oh. Are you guys banjo fans? That's great. Well, you know, we'll see if he has any other interests to talk about. In the meantime, we're interested in hearing you play. Give us a call. The number, of course, is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It is time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Sean Hawkins from New York, New York.
Hey, Sean. You're not calling from a cell phone in the back row, are you, Sean?
No, I'm not.
And what do you do for fun here in the greatest city on earth?
Well, lots of stuff. Probably my favorite hobby is cooking, though.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, surprisingly enough, with all the great restaurants.
I know. And your kitchens are so tiny.
Yeah.
So you're like, you have to use like an easy bake oven, don't you? I've seen your apartments.
Exactly.
Sean, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning and the host of My Grandmother's Ravioli in the Cooking Channel. It's Mr. Mo Rocca right there.
Hi, Sean.
Next, a comedian whose new CD, I Heart Jokes, Paula Tells Them in Boston, is out now. Paula Poundstone.
Hey, Sean.
And a humorist and blogger at cartalk.com, Mr. Tom Beaudet, is with us.
Hi, Sean.
Welcome to the show, Sean. You're going to play Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle, of course, will begin our show by recreating, with the powers of his voice, three quotes from this week's news. Your job, of course, explain or identify two of those things. Do that, and you win our prize. Ready to go?
I'm ready.
Your first quote comes from Martell Webster of the NBA's Washington Wizards. It was a tweet he aimed at his former teammate, Jason Collins.
Proud of you for being you. That jump shot is still kind of weak, though.
Jason Collins made big news this week when he said he was what?
He is the first openly gay NBA professional athlete.
Very good, yes. He is, in fact, gay, and he came out in a cover story in Sports Illustrated. Very good. NBA player Jason Collins came out as gay, and America reacted to the news with a strong, unanimous reaction. Who is Jason Collins? Well, he is. He's been a sort of journeyman center, but it's important because he is the first gay male player, the first openly gay male player, in one of the four major sports, basketball, baseball, football, or hockey. This was a huge step forward. Hockey players were like, hey, guys, we're one of the four major sports. Yay!
You know, I don't get it. You play a sport with a basket and everyone assumes you're not gay. You ride a bike with a basket and everyone assumes you are gay.
Well, I think it's a wonderful development. It's just after the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that's like the last time I checked the gay agenda. And I wonder, where does this put us on the gay agenda now?
You know, I mean, they've really gotten everything they've ever wanted.
Right. I mean, I lost my copy.
That's pretty much it.
I lost my copy. So,
I understand. I
mean, yeah. Well, apparently the Boy Scouts are still holding the line, and that's what's important.
A few people protested, though. The reaction was not entirely positive. There was one guy on ESPN who called out Collins for being sinful, unlike more upright, virtuous basketball players like Kobe Bryant.
I hope that this opens the door, though, so that one very brave male figure skater can step forward and say, I'm straight.
There you are. It'll be a great day. All right, very good. Your next quote is from an electrical engineer named Robert Metcalf making a prediction back in 1995.
I predict it will catastrophically collapse in 1996.
Turns out Mr. Metcalf was particularly wrong about what, which turned 20 years old this week.
Wow. The internet?
Yes, the internet. Very good. It's now 20 years old. The internet has been around for years as a government and military system, but 20 years ago this week, we met the World Wide Web, and all useful work stopped forever. These days, the system of information sharing that was intended to help academics collaborate on projects across distance, well, is now mostly about sex. But of course it is. It's 20 years old.
But it still can't shrink.
No, I know. Next year, it turns 21. Exactly. That'll be great. You go on to check your Gmail, and it vomits in your lap. And it's like, I'm sorry, man.
You know what?
What?
The internet has certainly given cats something to live for.
That's true.
Yeah. My cats didn't have a shot at a career until the internet showed up.
Yeah. It's a real pathway.
Think, though, I mean, especially for our younger listeners who may not have been there, imagine what life was like before the internet. A hashtag was just where they put the price on your bag of weed. If you had a Facebook, you were a serial killer.
And broadband was just a bunch of old ladies singing together.
Exactly. Now, Robert Metcalf, who Carl quoted a minute ago, was not the only person to make a prediction about the internet. Carl went back into the news archives to find more. This was from Paul Krugman back in The Economist, of course, back in the mid-90s.
By 2005 or so, it will become clear that the internet's impact on the economy has been no greater than the fax machines.
Now, to be fair to Mr. Krugman, he was just bitter because he had paid $50 to become a premium member of Porn by Fax.
It's fax with three X's.
Exactly, yes. All right, Sean, here is your last quote. It is from a spokesperson from a company called Virgin Galactic.
We anticipate that most of our passengers will not require motion sickness medication.
That was perhaps wishful thinking, because after a successful test this week, Virgin Airlines, or Virgin Galactic, will soon be offering trips where?
Into near-Earth orbit, right?
Very good, yes. Wow. Outer space, for lack of a more specific term. Very good. Virgin Galactic announced that the rocket test went so well this week that they expect to offer commercial space flight as early as next year. That's one small step for man, $200,000 for a rich guy.
Wow.
Can I just say, only on NPR does someone answer near-Earth orbit.
Yes. he's at home, space. He's going, it's not technically space. It's really the upper ionosphere. I mean, the way it will work is passengers will train for 3 days to just go on a 2.5-hour flight, most of which will be taken up with going up and coming back down. There's no place to go up there.
It's like going to Chicago.
Are you guys interested in this, going into space, near Earth orbit?
I'm going to wait for the price to come down.
Yeah.
You know, once orbits, you know, so to speak, gets in on it.
Yeah.
Suborbits.
Here's the thing for me. Right now, we're all excited. Oh, my God, commercial space flight. People used to feel that way about airplanes. Oh, you can get an airplane and fly across the country. Mm-hmm. We're going to get bored. It's going to get annoying. Right? Well, you can always pass the time by pulling out your free copy of Space Mall.
Yeah, they're going to give you a little television. And when you get bored of looking out at the galaxy, you can watch Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah. Carl, how did Sean do in our quiz?
Sean, you had 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done. Well done, Sean. Thanks for playing.
Yeah, thank you, Peter.
One special note, the show you're hearing right now is also being beamed live to movie theaters across the country. If you're not at our local theater and want to see what we actually look like as our jokes fail, many cinemas will be rebroadcasting the show next week, so check waitwaittickets.org for details. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Tom, some people are logging on to Yelp not to review restaurants or bars or stores, but to review what?
Their dates?
No, people already do that on other sites. This is pretty new. I'll give you an example. In one negative review, the commenter said, Leavenworth, not Leavenworth it.
Oh, God.
Prisons.
Yes, prisons. No. They're not just inmates. They're empowered consumers of penal services.
What?
Because the only thing worse than being...
I give it 4 bars.
Exactly, yeah. The only thing worse than being sentenced to life in prison is being sentenced to life in a one-star prison. Most of the reviews share common complaints, from the water is always cold to the cafeteria is too stabby. The reviews, you'll be surprised, the reviews are not all bad. There are people in prisons who are giving them positive reviews. One 2-star review stated, and this is a quote, true quote, "Sure, the beds were uncomfortable and my bunkmate was frequently rude, but the food was great and so reasonably priced," unquote.
Attica, more like Ratica. This place is a mess.
Yeah.
This place did not make me sing, sing. I'm trying, just scrolling through different prison names.
I understand, we're doing our best.
Okay. Any more prisons?
I don't know the names of a lot of prisons.
It's like...
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Mo Rocca, Paula Poundstone, and Tom Beaudet. And here again is your host at New York University's Skirball Center, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Carl Castle. Right now it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Ashley from Kamloops, British Columbia.
From where?
Kamloops, British Columbia.
Ooh, Kamloops.
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 What kind of place is Kamloops?
It is the sunniest city in all of Canada.
The sunniest.
Low bar yeah. there, my friend. Hello, Canada.
Hi.
What do you... You're all so nice, no matter what we do. What do you do in Kamloops?
I'm a university student right now.
I see. And what are you studying?
Business.
Oh, I see.
Did she say goodness?
Being Canadian,
oh,
I wouldn't put a par.
Perfect for
but
Canada.
I know.
There's I just thought they made ginger ale.
No, the goodness industry is burgeoning in Canada. Ashley, welcome to the show. Your job, of course, is going to try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Ashley's topic?
Eureka!
It turns out sometimes the solution you were looking for is right in front of you. This week we read about an unexpected solution to an age-old dilemma. Guess which panelist is describing the real, recently discovered solution, and Carl will solve your voicemail needs. You ready to play, Ashley?
I sure am.
All right, first let's hear from Tom Beaudet.
Tom Griffith loved to play cheesy country music at his backyard parties to torture his friends, and it doesn't get any more painful than the 70s country trucker hit by C.W. McCall, Convoy. Mercy sakes alive, it looks like we got us a convoy. Well, at one particularly buggy barbecue last summer, Griffith and his guests noticed that for the few minutes of rubber duck breaker one ninering, the swarms of mosquitoes disappeared. The song ended, they came back. Started, they left. The group suffered through multiple replays while discussing their discovery, and Griffith was given the email address of Dan Filler, who worked with the Gates Foundation's malaria program in Africa. Filler, who later said he'd rather pull a 2-foot guinea worm from his own leg rather than do this again, tried it on a village boombox. It worked. The mosquitoes fled. Then the dogs, the livestock, the women and children, and finally even the hardy men could take no more. It's the nails on chalkboard of American music, speculated Filler. It might help to eradicate a deadly disease, but at the cost of a proud people's dignity, I think not.
The song Convoy, the C.W. McCall found to drive away mosquitoes. Your next tale of a easy fix to a difficult problem comes from Paula Poundstone.
At a time in the world where communication can be so lacking in civility, behavioral science researchers have made a breakthrough that can affect every kind of human relationship, and its simplicity is almost poetic. Researchers have found that the brain responds positively to the sight of oversized red lips. Big red lips. Think clown. Through an online survey, we found plenty of anecdotal evidence to suggest this, says graduate student Georgia Trester. Through imaging in the lab, we were able to also see clearly that when the brain sees someone wearing big, huge red lips beyond the lip line, it releases the L-DOPA enzyme, and the subject responds with kindness and honesty. Think what this could do in Congress. One of the most striking stories submitted online was that of a young Marine recruit who fell in one morning on the yard to face a previously abusive drill instructor while wearing his big, huge red lipstick. And to his surprise, the DI said, "Good morning, guys. We've got a lot of difficult training to do today, so I want to thank you for your willingness, and if you're ready, let's get started." A mother claimed that she wore a large quantity of red lipstick while picking her teenage son up at high school, and he said, "Hi, Mom, how are you?" The prospects for the Middle East are thrilling.
Clown lips. All you need to make people polite. Your last story of a botheration finally beaten comes from Mo Rocca.
We all know that Tylenol relieves pain in your head. Now comes word that it eliminates painful thoughts inside your head. A study published in the journal Psychological Science found that Tylenol reduces existential angst. Quote, "We are surprised that a drug meant primarily to alleviate headaches prevents people from being bothered by thinking about death," said researcher Daniel Randles. "Imagine if Paris's Left Bank cafes had offered Tylenol. Camus' stranger would have been Camus' BFF. Jean-Paul Sartre's No Exit might have been retitled Jean-Paul Sartre's Stay a While. And if Shakespeare had popped a couple Tylenol, Hamlet's soliloquy would have gone something like this: to be or not to be, that is the question. The answer, to be."
All right. So you've got problems, we have answers, at least one of them. Is the true story from Tom Baudet, the discovery that the song Convoy, popular in the early 70s, drives away mosquitoes, from Paula Poundstone, putting on big red clown lips all of a sudden makes people nice, or from Mo Rocca, that Tylenol can cure existential dread, the knowledge that you and everything you know will someday come to an end?
I'm going to have to go with the Tylenol from Mo.
Really? Why?
It seems more likely than the other two.
So you're going to go with Mo's story. Well, we spoke with someone authoritative who commented on this story.
The study suggests that Tylenol can reduce the pain of existential anxiety. You could also rid yourself of it altogether by knocking yourself out completely.
Yes. That was Professor Christine Korsgaard of Harvard University. She is the nation's foremost authority on the philosophy of Immanuel Kant, and thanks to Tylenol, will soon be out of a job. Congratulations, Ashley. You got it right. You earned a point for Mo Rocca, and you've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home answering machine. Thank you so much for playing with us today. Bye-bye. And now the game where we ask interesting people about completely uninteresting things. Steve Martin is, among other things, a comedian, a playwright, an author, an art collector, an actor, a Grammy-winning banjo player, a composer, and I've just run out of time. So we'll leave it there and say, Steve Martin, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell.
Thank you very much. Great to have you. Nice to see you.
So, you do all these things.
Ish.
Ish?
Yeah.
Ish. Yeah? And, I mean, is it that you just get bored or you're just unhappy? You keep moving on?
I always think I'm doing essentially one thing.
Yeah.
Which is writing.
Right.
And it translates into performing and writing.
More.
Yeah. And it's all kind of one aspect of being in show business, I guess, which I've always loved,
right.
The show business and performing. And in order to do that, I started writing my own things. And I always wrote comedy for television when I first started. That was my first real professional job, although I started as a stand-up comedian and banjo player, actually.
Well, yeah, this is interesting. The banjo is a big thing for you right now. You were touring with your band, and now you have a new album with Edie Brickell, Songs You Wrote.
And that album is out now.
Yes, and we love it. We've been listening to it for
days. It's an amazing coincidence that I'm here talking about it.
I know. Well, it's so lucky that you happen to be on this show that we can actually bring it up.
Total coincidence.
So what was it like?
I saw the lights on in the theater.
Amen.
My 10-year-old, who's got quite a lot of musical ability, said to me, he said, Dad, I want to learn how to play the banjo, listening to your new record.
So,
Well, I'll give you...
Are there people in the banjo world, I mean the bluegrass music world, who don't know you except as a banjo player? They're like, yeah, that Martin guy, he's okay.
I doubt.
Yeah. That. Does it, conversely, does it bother you when people who know you from your films or your plays or your books expect you to be funny when you're playing the banjo?
No, because, you know, when I travel around and do shows with the Steep Canyon Rangers,
yeah,
I always make sure there's a healthy dose of comedy, and I really like it.
Really? Do you
really
do that?
You like doing it.
You give some comedy to the people who want you to be funny?
Absolutely. What would I do? Turn my back and say, just now be quiet, I'm going to play.
Do you know any good banjo jokes? Because the banjo has inspired many of
them. I stay away from them because, you know, the banjo has suffered.
It has.
Yeah.
Not and like the ukulele.
I think of it as a very sophisticated emotional instrument. And it's just now recovering from hee-haw.
A lot of people who are comedians were always funny. Like Paula, right? You were always cracking jokes in high school and earlier, right?
Well, yeah, but whether or not it was funny depended on who was in the room.
So were you one of those kids who was always trying to be funny and crack up the classroom?
I don't know. I wanted to be funny. I know what you mean, Paula. It's like, you know, when you're a kid, you're just stupid. You know, you're acting silly, but fortunately, your classmates are equally stupid. So I wouldn't call it sophisticated.
Right. You've done a lot of other things. One thing you've done is you've hosted the Oscars 3 times, right?
That's
twice
three
by yourself,
times.
Once with Alan Belton, right? Mm-hmm. And every
two and
year,
a half then.
Two and a half. Yeah. Every year, they seem to be trying somebody new recently, and every year they're like, oh, that wasn't very good. People seem unhappy. But
well, that's what they say, even if it was good.
Really?
Yeah.
So it does seem like a job that you can't, according to public opinion, do well.
I don't know that that's really true. I think, you know, you can say, for example, you host a show and let's say it goes over well.
Yeah.
And the next year they go, after last year's disaster.
Really?
Yeah, it can be that. You don't know what I found that the critics will remember what they need for that year's commentary.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Right. Really, it's just needing to feed them
off. Do I sound bitter?
You know, when all those Hollywood people are gathered together, though, and the camera does that sort of vast shot looking out at them, and they're all lit, don't you find it hard to get past all of that plastic surgery in one place? I mean, it just cries out. To me, it's like looking at a large group of big birds flying into a strong wind.
Well, you know, I looked... There's a famous Johnny Carson joke, and I think it was from the 80s. And his joke was, so many new faces in the audience, you know, new faces on the old faces.
There
something like that. I really disrespected Johnny just now by quoting it so badly. But this
no, it's like you channeled him. It's like he was here, honestly.
Really?
They all...
Was that a direct quote, Steve? Because that was unbelievable.
I think...
What was it again? So many new faces on the old faces.
I just kind of brought Johnny back to life. What I'm trying to do is damage Johnny's reputation.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like a critic.
Yeah.
It's also the same teeth. Everybody has the same teeth now. I don't know how all of these celebrities are going to be identified later. Because they all have the same smile.
That's true.
There'll be just a big Hollywood mass grave except for David Letterman and Lauren Hutton.
Yes.
All right, Steve Martin, we have invited you here to play a game we're calling...
We are two boring and mundane guys.
Thank you. We all watch you. Saturday Night Live in the 70s and 80s, you were known as for being a wild and crazy guy. So we're going to ask you about the most boring and dull guys we could find, the speakers at London's boring conference. We read about it in the Wall Street Journal. Get two questions right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, the sound of Carl yawning on their voicemail. Are you ready to play?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Carl, who is Steve Martin playing for?
Steve is playing for Alton Morris of Cache, Oklahoma.
Who might well be out there watching.
Wait a minute. I know him.
Oh.
Oh, this is awful.
Well, we'll have to go with it and see what the FCC says.
Okay.
Here we go. First question. One of the big hits at Boring 2010 was which of these sessions? A, like listening to paint dry, in which a speaker read off the names of all 415 colors in a paint catalog in alphabetical order. B, but not so fluffy, in which a speaker showed pictures of everyday objects that look like clouds if you squint. Or C, sit right here a minute, in which conference goers went to a nearby store with the speaker's girlfriend while she tried on clothes.
Can you repeat my introduction?
Yeah. Let me roll back here. And now is the game where interesting people...
So we have...
Yes.
Paint chips.
Paint. You have somebody who read off all the names of colors from a paint catalog in alphabetical order.
Okay.
You had someone who showed slides of things that he thought, if they were blurry, looked like
okay.
clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a group going over to sit with the speaker's girlfriend while she tried on clothes.
Who am I playing for?
Alton Morris of Cache, Oklahoma.
Mm.
But he's not playing for Cache.
No, he's playing for Alton, who lives in Cache.
Well, I assume it's NPR. I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A, like listening to paint dry? You're correct. Very good.
Oh, you know.
I bet that would be relaxing, actually,
to
listen to all the colors.
The speaker began the talk by saying, brace yourself for 5 piping hot minutes of inertia. Despite the name of the boring conference, there was a lot of variety there. A man named Ed Ross held which of these? A, a milk tasting, comparing 5 different milks on their flavor, finish, and ideal food pairing. B, a self-explanatory show called Things I Found in the Bottom of My Bag at the End of the Day. Or C, a Lincoln Douglas-style debate about which actor was the better Darren on the old TV show.
York.
Yes. I rise to defend Dick York.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I think it's clear I didn't come here to lose.
No. Your businesslike demeanor has been very...
You're a natural at this.
I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A, and he gets it right. All right, let's see if you can be perfect. Here's your last question. A speaker named Peter Fletcher worked for 3 years on his talk. Was it A, quote, what happens to a pencil if you suck on it for 3 whole years without biting it? B, a display of 3 years' worth of photographs of the contents of his refrigerator? Or C, an in-depth documentation of the 2,267 times he had sneezed over a 3-year period?
I'm going to go... with B.
You're going to go with B, the contents of his refrigerator. I'm afraid it was actually C.
Oh.
It was a time he documented the 2,267 times he'd sneezed. He even documented the time he sneezed while he was documenting a sneeze. Carl, how did Steve Martin do in our game?
Steve had 2 correct answers, Peter. That's good enough to win for Alton Morris.
Well done! Right. There we go! Steve Martin's new album with Edie Brickell is Love Has Come For You. Steve Martin, what a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Steve Martin, thank you.
Who you gonna take to the show? Who you gonna take to the picture show? Who you gonna take to the show? Who you gonna take? Who you gonna get in the back row? Who you gonna get if you don't?
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Mo Rocca, Tom Baudet, and Paula Poundstone. And here again is your host at the New York University Skirball Center, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, everybody. In just a minute, Carl will complain about the throngs of tourists in Rhyme Square. It's our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, of course, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Now, here on stage with us today at the Skirball Center in New York is Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. Before we get to more of our games, let's hear a little something. Ladies and gentlemen, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
I've been laying alone for hours, but I haven't slept at all. My eyes are closed, but I'm listening for your call.
I mean to sing like that.
Yeah. Someday.
Here we go.
Right now, panel, some more questions for you about the week's news. Mo, as you know, special interest groups are always trying to get the ear of the president. Well, according to Politico.com, they found a new way to target President Obama, so he'll definitely hear their message. What are they doing?
They're making him fudge. They're making him something that he likes to eat.
Right.
They are. Is that right?
No. I'm just wanting you to go on. I want you to spin out this scenario.
They're putting on costumes.
No.
Can you give me?
I'll give you a hand. Like, this is SportsCenter and a policy initiative worth considering.
Oh, well, they're doing ads on ESPN.
On ESPN, yes. On ESPN is the answer. President Obama often says he doesn't watch cable news, but of course he says he's a huge sports fan. He knows everything about every team and every sport. So if you really want to get his attention, you have to put an ad on something he's watching. That's why during Sunday Night Baseball, the girls in bikinis aren't holding beer. They're holding the 2013 EPA Reauthorization Act.
Tonight's SportsCenter brought to you by XL Pipeline.
You know, and this also explains why sometimes at like the late, like 11 p.m. broadcast of SportsCenter, you sometimes see Michelle Obama just looking into the camera going, "Are you smoking? Where are you?"
it's a smart idea.
No, I think so.
I mean, it's a smart idea.
Wouldn't it be weird, though, if you're watching your favorite TV show, whatever it may be, and you see a commercial specifically directed at you?
They are.
I always assumed that the Gotta Go to Moe's ad was directed to me.
Really? That must have been a warm feeling for you when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Paula, outdoor festival goers in South Africa will be among the first people in the world to experience the thrill of beer delivered to them by what?
Ooh. Oh, lizard. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Slow.
Yeah. Oh, no, not all lizards are slow.
That's true. No, not lizards.
So it's going to be delivered by something.
I'll give you a hint. It's like, tastes great, less explodey.
Missile.
Close. What does the CIA and the U.S. Army use to deliver their missiles?
Oh, drones?
A drone, unmanned drone.
How
beer
convenient.
By unmanned drone. Yes, very good. Paula got it right. Whether it's a predator drone or a beer drone, you're going to get bombed.
So civilian use of military technology, this is the first thing they come up with?
Yes.
How it's from high up.
Well, the way it'll work is so you go at the Oppie Copy
Festival. There's going to be spillage.
And you say you want a beer, right? And instead of having to walk all the way over to the beer tent and get a beer, you apparently order the beer online, maybe using your phone. And the next thing you know, an unmanned drone flies over the festival, finds you, and drops a beer on a little parachute to you.
Oh, that's cute, actually. Mm-hmm. I hope it's a twisty, like you can twist it off. Right.
So you're like, I needed an opener. The problem is when the drones get mixed up, right? Last week, the CIA accidentally dropped a frat party on Al-Qaeda. But not to worry, those insurgents at Delta Tau Delta will never bother us again. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. And check out our How to Do Everything podcast this week, how to handle that awkward situation when your cell phone goes off while you're being sentenced for a crime. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Belinda in Fort Carson, Colorado.
Oh, how lovely. What do you do there?
I am a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, great. And so how old are your kids?
The girls are 9 and 7, and the boy is 4.
So you have your hands full.
Yeah, the little one is wild.
Have you ever considered duct taping them to the wall?
I'm actually not supposed to talk about that.
I understand. We'll move quickly on. Belinda, welcome to the show. Carl Castle is going to read you 3 news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and 2 of the limericks will be a winner. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
Here's your first limerick.
To copy the First Lady's charms, I'll go to Posh Beauty Farm. I won't hit the gym to be well-toned and trim. I'll let surgery firm up my...
arms.
Right! Arms! Very good. To people who say the Obama administration hasn't done anything, consider this. They've inspired, and this is true, a 5,000% increase in arm, flaboplasties, right? Experts believe demand for this procedure is due to Michelle Obama and the way she wears those sleeveless dresses all the time. It's weird, though, because now you're starting to see all these grandmas with toned, surgically enhanced arms. It's like, wow, grandma's been hitting the needlepoint hard. All right, here is your next limerick.
Around ladies, I'll keep what I've got, 'cause I got my immunity shot. No matter how pretty, I'll stay tough and gritty. I do not trust a woman who's...
hot?
Yes, hot! Used to be, men were helpless to the charms of a beautiful woman, but that was before the hotness vaccine. A couple doses of minocycline and men in the presence of a pretty woman can make clear decisions, speak in complete sentences. It started out, though, as an acne drug. True, you're a 15-year-old boy. The girls won't talk to you because you have pimples. You take this drug, the pimples go away, the girls talk to you, now you don't care. Excuse me, I have to do my math homework. Away with you. All right, here is your last limerick.
I don't want to look like a fool, and I'm breaking no class picture rule. A modeling career look will go in my yearbook. I use fashion, shoot photos for...
school.
Yes, school. Very good. According to a report In the Wall Street Journal, parents are spending thousands of dollars on professional fashion spreads for their kids' school pictures. Photographers, makeup artists, stylists. Oh, yeah. Photoshopping turns your awkward middle schooler into a beautiful, creepy middle schooler. It'll be so nice years later when you can look back and see what you did not actually look like. Carl, how did Belinda do in our quiz?
Belinda, congratulations. You had three correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done. Thank you, Belinda.
Thanks.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Mo Rocca has the lead. Peter, he has 4 points. Paula Poundstone has 3. Tom Baudet has 1.
Very good. Tom, you're in third place, so you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. Three college friends of Jokar Tsarnaev were arrested for hiding evidence connecting him to the blank.
The Boston Marathon bombing.
Right. On Thursday, President Obama traveled to blank for trade talks.
Mexico.
Right. On Thursday, construction crews put the final piece of the spire in place atop the building at the site of the blank.
The World Trade Center.
Right. Archaeologists announced this week that they found evidence showing settlers at Jamestown were forced to resort to blank.
Oh, eating each other.
Yeah, cannibalism. A Florida man was arrested Sunday for calling 911 and blanking.
Gosh, calling 911 and reporting himself.
No. He called 911 and asked for Kool-Aid, burgers, and weed, and he did that 80 times.
Could almost guess that with the Florida.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Turnout was high last weekend as high school kids in Wilcox County, Georgia, held their first ever integrated blank.
Prom.
Right. Less than 48 hours after he was released by the New York Jets, blank received an offer to quarterback for the Omaha Beef of the Champions Professional Indoor Football League.
Oh, and I hope he does it. Tim Tebow.
Right. Members of the Women's Institute in Britain made an embarrassing mistake when they blanked in honor of their guest speaker, a Somali piracy victim.
When they blanked in honor
of their speaker, a victim of Somali pirates.
When they, I have no idea.
When they dressed up as pirates.
Oh!
The woman heard they had a speaker coming to talk about pirates, so they went all out to make him feel welcome. Eye patches and hooks for hands and parrots on their shoulders. Turns out maybe not so appropriate for their speaker, a former hostage of Somali pirates. All was fine, though. The lady switched into their Somali pirate costumes and held him hostage until someone paid them $2 million. Carl, how did Tom do in our quiz?
Tom had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 13 points, and Tom has taken the lead.
Well done. All right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Paula, you're up next.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank. A Mississippi martial arts teacher was arrested this week for sending blank to President Obama and others.
Ricin.
Administration officials said this week that President Obama is considering sending weapons to the rebels in blank.
Syria.
Right. For the first time since resigning and leaving for Castel Gandolfo, blank returned to the Vatican.
Oh, the old pope.
Yes. What was his name?
I just called him pope.
Yeah, I understand. It was Benedict.
Pope Benedict.
Yeah. Sherpas and climbers have come to a truce after the first known fight broke out this week on blank.
The top of Mount Everest.
Isn't it crazy? A British supermarket chain recalled bags of nuts from 29 stores because the label did not include the warning blank.
Includes nuts.
Exactly right. Rapper Chris Kelly, best known as being half of the kid rap group Blank, died Thursday at the age of 34.
Crisscross.
Yes, Crisscross. A team of New York entrepreneurs are hoping to capitalize on the Hooters business model by opening the city's first blank.
Bar/sperm bank. Two birds with one stone, that's
right.
What I say.
The city's first sexy shoe shine.
Oh!
If you love the tasteless exploitation of Hooters and the antebellum exploitation of a good shoe shine, you'll love Starshine NYC, the world's first sexy shoe shine service. Say that 4 times fast. For just $7, a young lady in short shorts and a tank top will put a shine in your loafers, a spring in your step, and a stain on your dignity.
I tell you what, boy.
Carl, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Paula had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. She's now tied for first place with Tom Baudet. Each has 13 points.
Okay. So how many, then, does Mo Rocca need to win?
5 correct answers.
5 indeed. All right, Mo, this is for the game.
Yes.
On Tuesday, President Obama said he would renew his efforts to close the prison camp at blank.
Guantanamo Bay.
Right. After the factory collapsed last week, Pope Francis condemned the work conditions for the victims in blank.
Bangladesh.
Yes. With Queen Beatrix's abdication on Tuesday, blank crowned their first king in more than a century.
The Netherlands.
Right. Billionaire Warren Buffett gained 1,000 followers a minute Thursday after joining blank.
Twitter.
Yes. A man found with crack cocaine in his pants pockets said that not only was the drugs not his, but blank.
The pants were not his.
Yes, exactly. What are they doing on me? With 13 nominations this week, the musical Kinky Boots is the front runner in this year's Blank Awards.
The Antoinette Perry Awards.
Oh, show off.
Extra point.
After putting up a profile on Match.com, Blank has received over 1,000 emails in response.
Horny Martha Stewart.
Yes, indeed. To improve their terrible test scores, an elementary school in Louisiana is going to Blank.
They're going to move to another state.
No. Hello, Louisiana. They're going to import smarter kids from a different school.
Oh, okay.
Marydale
well, that's smart.
Elementary.
That's how math works.
It is. Marydale Elementary has low test scores. Instead of bringing in new teachers, they decided to bring in smarter students. Says new third grader and Jeopardy champion Ken Jennings, I love my new school. I just wish my desk was bigger. Carl, did Mo do well enough to win?
He needed at least 5 correct answers. He had 7 correct
oh my
answers.
God.
So
with
18 points, Mo Rocca is this week's champion.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists what it'll say on the first postcard sent by a space tourist. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors and Advocate for Home Ownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. Esurance, an Allstate company offering online and mobile car insurance tools to guide customers from quote to claim. More at esurance.com. Pimsleur Language Program, celebrating 50 years and offering audio courses in 50 languages for download. Available at pimsleur.com. And Angie's List, providing reviews of local roofers, painters, landscapers, and plumbers to keep the consumer informed. More at angieslist.com. Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, benevolent overlord. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our intern is Miles. Somebody's knocking on the Dornbos. Somebody's ringing the bellbos. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks this week to Robert and Julie Borchard-Young and everyone at Buy Experience. Thanks to David Stern, Lenny Laxter, and Ian Kibbe and the crew at New York University's Skirball Center for the Performing Arts. B.J. Lederman composed our theme. It's a great place. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical directions from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Mr. Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. And thanks to Chelsea Maruskin and George Palumbo. And special thanks this week to Room and Board for donating parts of our set. Now, panel, what will the first postcard from a space tourist say? Mo Rocca.
Greetings from the International Space Station. Wish you were Mir.
I can buy that. Paula Poundstone.
I got the middle seat and I had to check my bags for $35.
Tom Baudet.
Dear sweetie, haven't stopped throwing up for 3 days. You were right. We should have just burned the money.
Well, if we see any of those things happen, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Mo Rocca, Paula Poundstone, and Tom Baudet. Thanks to all of you for listening. Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.